Howard Bryant with us, ESPN, a senior writer, a Bay Area guy who wrote out here for so many years. Love having him on. Last time we saw you was spring training, and you were off to see Rob Manfred to talk to him about possible changes in the game. Where are we now?
Well, we're in a very similar spot to where we were then, which is, okay, now we've got some changes. Now you see that the intentional walk is now a thing of the past, and well, the way we remember it, now it's just a signal. And we also see that the games are longer. We see that the games still haven't gotten any shorter. We see that the pace of play isn't really any different. We see that in my opinion, what you're really seeing is a confrontation coming very soon between the owners and the players. Because if baseball is serious about changing the style of the game in terms of how it is played, the pace of it, the actual time of game, there's only one way you can do that, and that is with radical rule changes. I don't think that any of this stuff is working right now in terms of trying to, well, let's see if we just implement the rules that we already have, will that shave 10 or 15 minutes off the game? I don't think it's going to. I think that baseball has reached a point where there's a style in which it is played. Players take their time now, and unless there's some punitive way to motivate them to move a little faster, you're not going to see it. The problem is that the most important thing to me that came out of the spring was when Rob Manfred came out and talked about how much he wanted to see changes and how much of a necessity it was that baseball speed itself up. And then the union came out and Tony Clark said, essentially, we think the game's just fine as it is. That signals such a gulf that over time I think you're going to see a massive, massive battle here on this issue.
Well, next year they can implement changes. They had to give 1 year notice, which they did, to the union, and they will implement changes next year. I mean, it's coming.
Yeah, and there's going to be a price for that, whether it's the next agreement or whether you just have this bad blood. Remember, there hasn't been a strike in over 20 years. And so because of that, I think that I would hope that there is a way for the two sides to sit down and agree that something has to be done. Unless, of course, you don't believe anything needs to be done. When you talk to the players say, look, if you come to a baseball game, this is what you're coming to see. You're coming to watch what we do for a living. If you're coming to a baseball and you want to see something much, much, much shorter, then maybe baseball's not really what you want to watch. That's not what the major leagues want to hear. But I think there's some merit to that, too. Where is this disagreement coming from? Is it preemptive? Or does baseball have market research data that says, look, people don't want to come to the games anymore because they're taking too long? It's actually the former. I think that baseball wants to be preventative. They are paying attention to the anecdotal information about short attention spans and kids swiping left and right and all of those different things. And baseball doesn't want to be left behind on that. At the same time, are you having issues with attendance? No. Are you having issues with the World Series right now? No. People loved the World Series last year. Are you having problems with TV ratings for really good teams? Not really. So once again, you've got this movement on the one hand of baseball trying to be preemptive, and the player is saying, we're kind of happy as we are.
Boy, interesting. This week we had a 16-inning game, the Marlins and the Mets. And I know Joe Torre is an advocate for this first and second 11th inning, putting the runners on base so you don't blow through a complete bullpen.
Cost your team for a week. Yeah. If you play a 16-inning game, you may blow through the bullpen, and instead of winning or losing that one game, then you go out and lose the next three because your team's not right. So I appreciate the argument behind it. The question is that does baseball want to do those things? Does baseball really want to say, okay, well, let's correct Tony La Russa from 1988, and let's say, you know what, we're not going to have five pitchers in one inning all pitching to one batter. That you can make two pitching changes in an inning, you know, barring injury, and somebody's got to, you know, two guys can get three outs, or three guys can get three outs. You can't do this anymore. Is baseball willing to make those changes? It's almost like the conversation we had last year when they were upset about the lack of offense, and it was like, well, maybe we should have an illegal defense in baseball. Then, you know, the baseball purists were saying, well, no. If you don't like the shift, then bunt. There's an open field on the left side of the infield. Hit the ball over there. So once again, the question is really going to be, what do you want this game to look like?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And you always frame it well. One of your colleagues this week, Jason Stark, wrote this long article about the face of baseball. Mm-hmm. There's no face of baseball anymore. The kids are too young, the stars of baseball. And is it Lindor? Is it Bryant? Is it Correa? What do you think about that?
Arenado, or a lot of good players. Stanton. Well, I think that this goes back once again to baseball seeding territory that I don't think they should have ever seeded. Baseball, as you talk to the Giants are masters at this. They control their local market. They're very, very good in terms of people in this town know who Buster Posey is. They know who Madison Bumgarner is. But does baseball have a national face? The answer is no. Baseball hasn't really, in my opinion, had a national face not connected to steroids since Ken Griffey Jr. back in the early 90s with Seattle. So the question is that does baseball want to try with its marketing and the Americans winning the World Baseball Classic? Maybe that's going to help a little bit, getting the Americans back in the Olympics. Maybe that'll help. And, you know, does baseball want to compete with the Tom Brady's and Aaron Rodgers and LeBron James's and Steph Curry's of the world? Or is baseball going to cede that space nationally? I think that baseball, I'm old enough to remember that Reggie Jackson was a national figure and Cal Ripken Jr. was a national figure, and that has gone away. Do they want it back, and are they willing to go after it?
Well, great to see you, as always. In my motto of the first week, I learned something every year. Expect the unexpected. Just when you think you come out of spring training, you know what's going on, it doesn't happen. Expect the unexpected. I think that's baseball now.
No question, and especially now when you're looking at the game being a bullpen game as much as it is, as much as it's become, and now you're looking at not just a bullpen game from a middle relief and starters only going five or six innings, but also now you're going to give guys like Aroldis Chapman $86 million, and they're going to pitch one inning, and so you're going to find out how managers run this game. And also, as we start getting, you know, further on into the year, is there going to be a sort of Andrew Miller effect in terms of how he was used last October? Are we going to see bullpens used differently? And I think for me, when I think about this, it's not just really a money issue. It's when you start talking about aces and leaders and faces of the team, can you have that when your starters aren't even going seven innings?
What are you working on these days?
Well, I'm working on a lot of things. I'm working on a piece on Rob Manfred, which I have not quite finished yet. I'm working on a book about race and patriotism and military at the ballpark and all of that stuff, where sort of the post 9/11 ballpark experience meets sort of the post Ferguson athlete. It's a fun story. Not really fun, but it's great to work on because people's perspectives are so amazing. But you know, what does it mean to the on-field game when you have athletes being as vocal as they are? And we always say that we want the athletes to be human, and we want the athletes to tell us what they think until they say things we don't like.
True. Hey, I was reading the other day about, and you did the book on Hank Aaron, that one of the owners, I guess, of the Indianapolis Clowns stopped the sale of Hank Aaron to the New York Giants because he didn't want to see Aaron and Mays on the same team. He thought it'd be unfair. I thought it was an interesting story.
No, it's a new one on me. I didn't quite hear that, but once again, that's one of the reasons why we do books and one of the reasons why we do research and keep writing these types of stories, because all the history sort of plays on top of itself and somebody else can come out with some more information or more research, and we start learning more about the game. We start learning more. Hopefully, these stories are true and not apocryphal, but at the same time, it is interesting when you think of all the what could have been. I mean, that's sort of the magic of baseball, and I always think about it as being a Bostonian, think about the fact that there was an opportunity, and it never happened, for Jackie Robinson, Ted Williams, Willie Mays, and Hank Aaron to have all played in the same city, if not on the same team. How incredible would that have been?
Yeah, no, a good way to end this one for Jackie Robinson, who had the tryout in Boston, and that was the beginning of the changes of the laws, and they forced Boston to have the tryout, and Tom Yawkey and Joe Cronin and Eddie Collins turned around and looked the other way, and here we are 70 years later.
Yeah, no question, and once again, it's one of these things about when you look in the rearview mirror of history, who's on the right side and who's not on the right side of it, and I think Jackie came out all right.
All right, Howard, I love you. Good to see you here, as always.
Thanks, Marty.
More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.